When you put that template on, I take my Opera pad and I will basically trace the outline of the composite template, that window, trace it. And what that seems to do is push the composite back into that pocket.
Welcome to the Phil Klein Dental Podcast. Today we'll be talking to Shannon Pace Brinker, a world-respected chairside assistant and educator who has trained thousands of other dental team members on the precise clinical placement of aligner attachments. Attachments, as we know, play a vital role in guiding tooth movement, improving control of your ortho case, and enhancing the predictability of treatment outcomes. But achieving optimal results requires a meticulous approach using the right materials and techniques. In this episode, we'll cover the step-by-step process from handling the aligner template and trying it in to etching the tooth, applying the bonding agent with precision, and ensuring proper composite loading into the template. We'll also discuss the curing process, the careful removal of the template, and the final step of detecting and removing flash for a seamless finish. And here's a key takeaway. Consistency matters. Using a cohesive system of products, especially the adhesive material and composite resin, can significantly impact the strength, longevity, and overall effectiveness of your attachments. So whether you're new to aligner therapy or looking to refine your technique, I think you will find a lot of information in today's episode that will help elevate your clinical success. I certainly hope so. Before we bring in our guest, I do want to say that if you're enjoying these episodes and want to support the show, please follow us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. You'll be the first to know about our new releases, and our entire production team will really appreciate it. Shannon, it's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Phil, thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's always great to have you on Viva Learning CEI events, activities. You have so much to offer and a lot of clinical experience over the years from your perspective. So there's no question that there's a huge emergence of dentists that are using aligner therapy. It's getting more and more popular. The success rate of aligner therapy has been fantastic. There's software that helps dentists do these procedures, and the presence of attachments significantly improves aligner retention and also orthodontic tooth movement. And we all know that it's made a major impact on the way we move teeth. So to begin this episode, tell us why the attachment is so important. And this, of course, relates to the importance of the template itself.
Well, Phil, I tell you, this is just probably the most important question out of the gate. These attachments really are critical. And when I say that, you know, we always think about brackets and wires with conventional braces. We have to put forces on the teeth, and these attachments have to be placed so precisely, but most importantly, we have to have that attachment be the exact shape as the attachment template is designed. And so I think sometimes there's a misconception of, I can just put a little bit of composite or any composite into this attachment template, and we're going to get the movement, the pressure on the teeth that we need in order to get the teeth to move. And so that is definitely not the case. It is more critical, and probably more critical than brackets and wires, because those attachments have to be placed, again, to the exact calculations, shape, form, as they were designed in the software, you know, again, to put pressure on the teeth, to move them exactly in those calculations that were put into place for the treatment plan to get the teeth aligned.
Right. Now, the dental assistant is the one doing this, right? So they need to get the training. Where do they typically get the training on placing the composite inside the template and applying the template and making sure the shape is correct by removing all the flash? And we're going to go over some of these details on this podcast episode.
Yes.
But where does the assistant get that training?
Phil, this is what's crazy. And I want to say thank you for having this podcast and our webinar, because the problem is there isn't any training. I train probably close to 70,000 people for Invisalign, and I had 81 trainers. We were teaching way before COVID. And then when COVID hit, they stopped doing any training. So we're really at the mercy of really being hopefully trained by the rep or by the doctor. And this is where it is scarce. Nobody is teaching attachment placement. I'm the only one now. And I take it so serious because I see so many attachments coming off, so many failures. It's like they're so focused on getting a good scan. But at the end of the day, if we don't get the movement on the teeth that we need, this is why so many doctors are having to do mid-course correction and really starting all over and re-scanning, removing the attachments. And really, this is one of the main reasons, because there's not enough training on attachment placement, and most importantly, placing attachment correctly.
Yeah. So before we get into the biggest mistake teams make, which we want to go over with you. Like, what are the things that are most blatantly being done incorrectly? We want to cover that with you. Tell us the, from a top view, a generalized view, what the steps are. What are we looking at clinically when we get that patient in the chair? We've done the software analysis. We have the template ready for the template number one. Tell us the process and the procedure that needs to be adhered to in order to do it correctly. Top view.
Absolutely. We need to know every step of the way. We want to make sure first that we try in that template and that it fits. It goes down all the way. There's no space, or we call it daylight, where it sits way up and doesn't go down all the way. And then we want to try in the first aligner, because if I just take the template and go ahead and paste my attachments and I didn't try in the first aligner, what if it doesn't fit? How do we know which one could have been wrong? And it has happened. Okay. The other thing is that we want to make sure that that template is sacred. I mean, it is sacred. It's like the Holy Grail. We cannot let the patient go home with it. We got to save it. And most importantly, we need isolation first. If you think about doing direct bonding, it is the exact same thing. And isolation is something that we're loosey-goosey with. You know, we're using cotton rolls. We're not making sure that the lips are off the teeth, and using good bonding agents, good composite, and really looking at that precision placement and going back through it and following the steps. Every time I have a delivery, I've been doing this forever, I feel like, and mastered it, but I still pull out my guide to show me every step of the way, because we don't follow rules. We don't follow directions. You don't even read. And so we've developed these guides to make sure that every team member, just, we do things by the book, step one, step two, step three, and follow that. And most importantly, that we understand why we need proper isolation and we're bonding these correctly, and not just picking any material, mix of materials, using different manufacturers, composites and different manufacturers, bonding agents. It's just a lot of things that we are not doing correctly, because nobody ever told us this is what we're supposed to do and do it right.
When you do this procedure, do you do a whole arch at one time and put these attachments, put the composite into these pockets in the template and seat it after you've prepared the tooth? And we're going to go over that. And you do all this stuff correctly, and then you get rid of all the flash. So at the end of the visit, when that patient leaves, they have these attachments bonded to their teeth in the exact shape and form that the software indicates based on the template that you're getting. Do you do the whole arch, or do you do three or six teeth at a time just to ensure good isolation and control of moisture?
You know, Phil, I love that. I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of speakers out there, my mentors, that, again, feel the same way about the template, but I hear a lot of these mentors telling dentists that they can cut this down the midline and have a section and have a section, you know, cut it down the midline, or even poke holes in it. I'm like, what are you doing? You can't tell people this stuff. I've heard it all. I feel that when we start altering that template, this is where we start making mistakes. Train the team right to really isolate the entire mouth with a good isolation retractor. And you really don't have to cut it and worry. If we train them correctly out of the gate, then we won't have to worry about touching it. And again, that template is sacred. So I don't like to alter it with any, you know, some people say they've used, you know, oil, you know, Vaseline around it, so you make sure we can clean up the flash. And I'm like, oh my gosh, no contaminants, just out of the gate, train the team to have good isolation first. And really and truly, I don't want to cut that template. I want to keep it as is. And I use that full template and I do everything at the same time. But again, it goes back to knowing your steps and practicing. And the more aligner therapy that we do too, the better we're going to be, right? It's the repetition. If you only do one case a month, you're never going to get this down.
So what do you recommend? What do you recommend for isolation that you really swear by?
My go-to number one is OptraGate. OptraGate. Every video, you can go back 10 years, 15 years, every video for isolation when it comes to attachment placement is the OptraGate. And they have now the OptraGate 2, which is even better. Thank you. but it's a little bit more rigid. And so, because some people worry that sometimes, you know, it might get wet and pop out, but this one's a little bit more rigid. Still has the flexibility and most importantly, the different sizes, but this one was honestly made for scanning and attachment placement. So I'll tell you, they really did a good job with the update and now coming out with the OptraGate 2. I'm so excited for everybody to try it.
Does low speed suction work well with OptraGate?
You know, you don't even need it. Can I tell you, I don't even put a suction in the mouth. I don't want anything to, you know, once I lay that patient back in the chair, this just keeps the lips off the teeth and we're ready to rock and roll, you know. So I don't have any kind of suction in there at all, unless I'm going to rinse out, of course, you know, off the edge or whatever. But I will say that, you know, most importantly, some people like to try to, you know, bend the saliva ejector and put it in the patient's mouth or use an isolate. You just don't really need that because we've got the lips off the teeth and really we can rock and roll with these steps pretty quickly.
So is the first thing you do is place the Optragate and then clean the enamel surface?
Absolutely. So first thing I do is I will put in the Optragate to even try in my attachment template and try in my first aligner because I want to see really clear everything all the way around and making sure that I know exactly where these attachments are going to be placed. Honestly, if we back up a little bit and say the first thing we do, we pull up the software because a lot of times in the box, the template that they give us to follow where those attachments are going to be placed, they're just a square. And we know these attachments are so many different shapes. The only real way to know where it's going to be placed on the tooth and what it looks like is to pull up your software. And with Invisalign, we pull up the ClinCheck, but everybody's pretty much very similar to that. You want to pull it up and memorize where they're going to be and just kind of know what those shapes look like. So I have that screen pulled up, and then I put in my Optragate, try in my template, try in my first aligner.
Okay, so let's assume the template and the aligner fit very well. Nothing to worry about there. What's the next step?
Yeah, some people like to use pumice. Some people like to just make sure, you know, some doctors do some air abrasion. Personally, I just haven't had to do that. You know, I really feel like, you know, utilizing a good etch and then just making sure everything's nice and clean. But a lot of my team members and friends like to use just a flowered pumice, and that's fine too. So they can do that just to make sure everything's nice and cleaned off before we start, you know, acid etching the teeth.
So as far as the etch and placement, we want to make sure that we only place the etch at the location of the attachment. So in other words, it has to line up with that pocket that's in that template. How do we ensure that we're putting the etching material just where we want it and we don't over-etch haphazardly the enamel around our target zone?
Yeah, Phil, I'm telling you, got the best questions. Let me tell you, out of all the people that we call, seriously, I appreciate this because here's the thing. Every person pretty much etches the entire tooth. And guess what? When you etch that entire tooth, you don't even have to have ever placed attachment before. You're going to have extra flash. You're going to have so much cleanup. And I remember, I'm a dental assistant. A lot of people will etch the entire tooth just to make sure they got a good etch, but you don't have to do that. If you just look at your ClinCheck with Invisalign or look at your software and know, okay, well, this attachment is going to go here, I can pretty much eyeball exactly where it's going to be by looking at the software, looking at the patient's teeth, and know, okay, if I acid etch these two areas where the attachment is on this tooth, now I can utilize my adhesive universal in a pin that's going to help me put that bonding agent exactly on that spot.
And we've talked offline about this, Shannon. You like to stay within the same system, which is Ivoclar. That's why you prefer the adhesive universal, which you've had a lot of success with, but you feel more comfortable staying with the same system. You put that on.
Yes,
and
sir.
You like Curate. Now, that material uses a power cure light. Right? So tell us about that real quick.
It does. Oh my gosh. Listen, I kid Chet Spike on, like, it's strong enough for a man, but it's really made for a woman. I'm going to tell you, it's made for the dental assistant. That's what we should say, because a lot of times what's so cool about this blue phase light is the fact that this power cure, first of all, it is, you can trust it. You don't have to worry. Did I leave it on there long enough? And you know, in dentistry field, we don't trust products, right? We always keep on hitting the button. But the main thing is a lot of times, and I'm being very transparent, as a dental assistant, we might not have the paddle, or maybe we're looking away and we're so focused on what's next to hand to the doctor. It has this technology that if we drift away, it knows it and it will vibrate. It's the coolest thing ever. And so it's like, it's almost foolproof. It makes sure we're keeping that light where it needs to be. So if we do drift off a little bit, we don't have the dentist grab our hand and put it back where it needs to be. We can,
and it's
feel it, and we know it's got to go back.
It's very fast, right?
Yes.
Okay. So it's got power.
Absolutely.
It's like, it's got a turbo mode and boom, 3 seconds, you're done. So you've gone from one tooth to the next. You're isolated with Optragate, so you've got no moisture on these teeth. You're going from, let's say you're going from one molar, upper molar, to all the way across the arch to the other molar. You've got numerous attachments that you need to create through this template. So now that you're finished with your bonding, what's your next step?
Next, we're going to fill our attachment template with the composite. Michael Miller taught me a long, long time ago that, Shannon, you never mix manufacturers. They're always made to go together. And I see this a lot where they're using one type of bonding agent, another brand, another system, and then they're using a different composite. And I think we just have to remember, and really, he just beat me up with this. You don't mix manufacturers. And I think that this is the problem in dentistry, is everybody thinks they're all the same, and they're not. They're made to go together. And so that, to me, speaks volume, and it stuck with me. And he's absolutely right.
Yeah, and it's safer, by the way, to use the same system from the same company, because if you want to troubleshoot a problem and you call the company, you know, they'll blame it on the adhesive if you're using their composite. And if you're using their adhesive, they'll blame it on the composite. So when you're telling them you're using everything, including the curing light, from the same company, in this case, Ivoclar, it rules out any kind of incompatibility issue with different manufacturers. So let's get back to filling the template.
Absolutely. So the one thing that I see a lot in practices is, again, they're utilizing a flowable. They're using a runny material. And the other thing is that, you think about having three attachments, you need something strong. What I tell offices is, again, I'm very black and white. You know, it's, for me, these patients are going to take this aligner off, and they're going to eat, and they're going to put it back in, but they are taking it off several times a day, and they don't listen to us. They grab it with their fingernails and just kind of rip it off every single time. And, you know, this is composite. It takes wear and tear. So when you're using just a wimpy flowable, of course it's going to pop off, or it's not going to last. And for these patients that have more of a complex case, that is going to cause wear on the composite. And so this is why I'm such a big advocate for Tetric Evo Ceram. And now they have aligner. I already used Tetric before, but now that they have the aligner composite, it was made for attachment placement. And so many reasons. First of all, it's strong. It's not wimpy. It's a heavy body. It does not come in a flowable syringe or an injectable syringe. You know, it has a carpule, or it has this twistable, you know, heavy body syringe mentality. But most importantly, it has the strength. And for me, we need that. And I think that that's something that we don't think about as team members, is that patient taking that off and on. And so when I pack this into that attachment template, my good friend Howard Strather, I know you know Howard very well, he developed the OptraPad. That was his baby, and he don't even really talk about it that much. But the OptraPad is an amazing instrument. I use the OptraPad. It has a flat base to it, so it's like an IPC on one end, but it's got a flat, beautiful flat disposable into it that I can push that composite into the attachment template. And listen, I keep packing it. And we want to slightly overfill that shape, because the problem is, I think in dentistry, we're so beat up to save material, and not waste product, but we need to pack it into that attachment template window. So this way we slightly overfill it. Then we know when we seat it on the patient's teeth, of course it's going to squeeze out. But what I do is, when I seat it, and I pack all the composite into that. Now, let me back up for 1 second, if I can, Phil, because some practices pre-fill the template before the patient comes in, and they did not try it in. Now, that's first of all thing for me. I'm kind of scared. I just don't trust that. I will fill it all after I've etched and I put the composite in all the attachment windows. But I will tell you that I want to slightly overfill it, because this is the reason why we don't get the movement we need. We didn't put enough composite into that attachment template. And I like the fact that I'm going to pack it in with the OptraPad and push as much of that composite in without having it be too bulky, and make sure that when I hold it up in the light, and I do, I hold it up every time, every patient, I want to make sure every attachment is exactly filled. And they have a choice. They can use a little carpule, or compule is what people call it, or they can use, squeeze it out and put it on a pad. Personally, I like the compules, because I feel like I can maneuver it so much better and really squeeze it in there. But I still use my instrument and pack it into the attachment template.
I mean, the last thing you want is to underfill it. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to generate the shape and the fullness of the attachment that's indicated in the template window. And I assume, of course, Shannon, that you put some pressure on the template once it's seated during the light curing procedure.
Absolutely. Because the thing is it's spongy. You know, these template is very different than the first aligner. The first aligner is a lot more rigid as far as, heavier feeling, but the template is not as rigid. It's kind of a little bit more flimsy. So when you put that composite in there and you go to seat it, it'll kind of sponge off just a little bit of the teeth, almost like putty, it comes up just a little bit. So we really want to hold it down. And I train team members, when you put that template on, one of the things that happens with the composite is it starts to kind of, I would say, squeeze on out, I would say come out a little bit. So I take my OptraPad and I will basically trace the outline of the composite template, that windows, trace it. And what that seems to do is push the composite back into that pocket. And that's why I love that instrument. I cannot do without it because I trace every attachment, but I'm holding it down. And what I'll do is I don't cut it. You know, I told you we don't cut that our template because I'm using the fact that I got a full arch template. I'll take my finger on the opposite side and kind of hold it down the occlusal surface while I'm curing because it'll come up. And this is another thing is we got to make sure that it's all the way down and pushed all the way to place. So this way we can make sure that it's cured properly and cured in the right position. That's why it's so critical to try in the template and make sure it goes down all the way. And you know the path of insertion. And that sometimes people look at me like I'm a little crazy when I say path of insertion because it's, you know, you want to seat it and make sure you don't see any of that space. But holding it down, and I'll put my finger straight across, just like I was going to make it straight across the arch and hold it. But again, once it's down and just holding it really in that premolar area and curing at the same time. But this light cures so fast, 3 seconds, you know, I just go from tooth to tooth to tooth to tooth to tooth. And you can trust it. It's cured. Well, it's not moving.
So this is an example. This is an example where it's really important for the curing light to act very quickly. And that's why you recommend in your videos and so forth, the turbo mode. So 3 seconds, this Tetrick Evo Ceram Aligner is set up. It's rock solid. Okay. Now you've worked across the arch. You're finished. You've done each tooth. All of the attachments are cured. And now you still have the template on the arch. What's the next step when it just pops right off when you're ready to pull it off?
It's a little hard to get it off. Now it's got these really nice attachments. So it's full and it's going to be hard, you know, because again, the whole thing was we want that to be engaged. So we're going to have to kind of pry it off a little bit. And when we do, this is so critical when we talked about, you know, only etching the areas where the attachment is going to be placed because the adhesive is going to go straight to that. Now, one thing that we didn't talk about was, you know, the different, you know, you can either buy adhesive in a bottle or you can buy it in a pen. I want people to use the pen. Now, I would tell you, my doctor flat out said, Shannon, I can get more bang for my buck by having adhesive in a bottle versus a pen. And I beg to differ. It's not true. Actually, you get more bang for your buck by utilizing the pen. The other thing is that the
so
pin
what's
has
the
a little,
what's the pin look like?
Like a pen.
It's a very precise delivery system. You're saying
very precise. It's a misconception until you try it. When you click the button, now when you first put a new one on, right? When you open it up and you put a new tip on, you got to click it a few times. But it's like you only click one time, and believe it or not, Phil, you get close to I think close to 180, 200. Applications with the pen. So I'm saving money because once we pour that bonding agent out of a bottle, you know how much those things cost.
Right.
This is where, again, as team members, we're going to be so much more conservative, but you don't need that much. And the beauty of using the adhesive pen is you're scrubbing it into these areas and it has its own little tip. So when I etch, I'm only going to etch the area where the attachment is going to be placed, but I'm also going to precisely place the bonding agent right where I etch. So it's a no-brainer. So the beauty once we take off the template is if you did that and didn't etch the whole tooth like everybody's doing and do like I say, you can take a scaler and just flake it off with almost like your fingernail if you wanted to really, but just take a little scaler and it just pops off all over. I think you'll be shocked at how much flash you really just comes just off instantly. You know, to me, I feel like that was really the secret is having a pen and not do this whole mopping technique where we just take a brush and dip it into the bonding agent and just slap it all over the place. This saves so much time.
Yeah. See, well, that's the whole thing that your doctor didn't take into consideration. The benefit is you're not only saving time on the application, you're reducing the dose of the bonding agent, and you're likely making it much easier to remove the template because of the precision of the adhesive. So that's there's an advantage to these precision delivery systems, no doubt. All right, so now we're at the point, Shannon, where we've removed the template and the attachment should be beautifully bonded onto the enamel surface in the right position, in the right shape, but inevitably there's going to be some flash.
Absolutely.
The nice part about this system that we're talking about today, which is Ivoclar's, using Tetrick Evo Ceram Aligner as the composite, we could see that flash using a black light, which I think is a huge clinical advantage. Again, a huge time saver. This is obviously a really well thought out system. So tell us about that black light and detecting flash for easy removal.
Oh man, this is the part that makes me just cry. I would tell you, I love it because the whole thing for me is not to have the doctor come back in the room. And this is one of the things, you know, if I'm training these assistants, you know, I want them to be the best they can be. And this is where we really love working by ourselves, you know, and this to me, I take it so serious, but the one thing that I absolutely hated was if I couldn't get the flash off or the patient, you know, just leaving. And I know there's a lot of flash on there. You know, to me, it's important to know where it is, but it's clear. Sometimes we just can't see it. And the beauty of using this Tetric Evo Ceram Aligner is that it is fluorescent. So we can shine a light in there now and see how much leftover, you know, flash we have. Where did we miss it? And making sure that we really can see it, because, you know, seeing it is really important. But I'll tell you, seeing it makes me a better clinician. So the first couple of times, you know, you do attachment placement, it's all learning. And again, we're not perfect out of the gate, but the more that I see, the better I'm going to be now, the more precise I'm going to be with my etching, my adhesive, you know, and most importantly, placing that composite exactly where it needs to be, is really a teaching aid. And I don't even think Ivoclar really understands that, because now I'm a better clinician. You know, I know I'm really looking more. But let me tell you what's the best part about this too, is if a patient loses an attachment, this is where the rubber meets the road. A lot of practices don't think these attachments really matter. If a patient loses an attachment, they're like, oh, it's okay, we'll see ya, you know, or do they even know? Because again, it's clear, you can't really see it. Now, the one thing I will say about, you know, the aligner, Tetric aligner, is the fact that it is translucent. So the beauty of that is if the patient's teeth are darker and we use a whiter shade, or whiter and we use a darker shade, this has a chameleon effect. It's just one translucent shade. That's a big plus. But the second piece of this is if they lose the attachment. So every room has these little flashlights that I got off of Amazon. And they just shine it in the light. We have it in every room. So even during the hygiene appointment, they're checking to make sure that every aligner, every attachment is intact.
So what will they see with the black light if an attachment is missing or fractured?
It'll look funny. They'll see a little bit. It's basically what they'll see is a little bit of the flash will still be there, but it won't be like a real shape, you know. And that's
okay,
one of the things.
Okay, so it's visible. It's visible with the naked eye with the flashlight. Okay.
Right. Absolutely. And in our huddle in the morning, we kind of make everybody kind of, you know, we talk in the huddle, of course, if you huddle, and we kind of know who's got attachments, who doesn't. And just my doctor will say, hey, you know, double check, you know, he just reminds them. I love that. But they're trained to look for this. But our hygienists even know how to place attachments, Phil. It's great.
Let's say you finish the attachment placement. You've cured everything. You've removed the template. Then, of course, I would assume you try in the aligner to make sure it fits right where those attachments are, and it seats 100%, and then you know you're good.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. And now, before we do that, Phil, one of the things that we miss, this is a huge perk. This will be probably the third or the fourth tip we've given you on this podcast. I like to place, first of all, I like to clean off that attachment area. The one thing that is similar to brackets and wires is the fact that they're wearing these 22 hours a day, 7 days a week, right? We want to take it out, eat. Hopefully you don't take that long to eat, but eat. You know, do whatever you're going to do, put them back in. But a lot of times people don't brush right after. And now you've got this biofilm that's stuck underneath this aligner. And that's critical, right? Because this is where the white spot lesions come into play. We got to be careful here. So one of the things that I love is I like to place Cervitec F. And now they have, you know, they've got all different ones, but Cervitec was the first one that came out F. Now they've got so many things coming out. They've got Cervitec Plus, which is basically chlorhexidine. It's going to clean that area really good, and it's going to protect it. And so every time we have a patient that we're doing attachment placement on, we actually use Cervitec to go around and just kind of clean up each attachment again. It's almost like a Band-Aid on there, but it's going to protect it and hopefully keep that biofilm from it. And it can be placed about every 3 months. And this is something that we absolutely love, because nobody ever really thought about that. You know, when we think about having to protect these areas, we want to protect them. And you can use it on brackets and wires. You can use it on attachments. Our hygienists love it. It has no flavor. And let me tell you why it's so great, because if we just place fluoride, we just use, you know, our standard fluoride that we would use in hygiene, it's sticky and gooey. So if we place that around the attachments, we wouldn't get the aligner back in. We're going to have to wait, you know. So this is like water. You know, it really and truly doesn't inhibit us delivering the first aligner right out of the gate.
And you only put it around the composite attachment.
Exactly. So okay. It's keeping that area clean. It's cleaned off some of the debris. Now, I will tell you that I clean up any flash first, and then I place my Servitex. Right. So, now, and again, they've got different ones.
Right. Now, as far as cleaning up the flash, you use OptiGloss. You could use anything, or is there something special about the OptiGloss?
I like the OptiGloss because really you're polishing things back. Again, it goes back to if we're going to protect everything and we're going to have fluorescence, we can see where the flash is. Again, I'm able to pick everything off. But even today, I had a patient that still had a little bit of flash on number 6. And I just said, hey, let me just polish that really quickly. And as soon as I touched it with the OptiGloss, it's like, ding, it's off. And it just, it, to me, it's just the final phase. I don't want any patients to leave and their teeth be, and not be smooth as their natural teeth were, and the thing for me is I want to make sure everything's nice and clean and most importantly, really polished. Now, the one thing that you don't want to do is touch that attachment. You know, when we think about it, if patients take out their aligner, they'll say, oh my gosh, these were a little sharp. And some assistants that I've seen and heard will take polishers to that attachment to make it a little bit smoother. Oh my gosh, you just reduced it.
Right.
Do not touch.
Yeah.
It's sacred.
It has to be a certain shape. It has to have a certain bevel to it, if there is a bevel. Otherwise, mm-hmm. the force vector will change, and then the movement of the tooth is not going to be what it was designed to do. So that's crazy to mess with the shape of it.
It is.
Yeah.
But you'd be surprised how many people will touch that and really and truly alter the shape, which there we go again. We're back to square one, right?
Right. Do you use Invisalign as your aligner?
I do.
And correct me if I'm wrong, Shannon, you got involved with the Ivoclar product line specifically for the placement of attachments because it was in the store of Invisalign. So they were putting those products in their store as auxiliary products to use with their system. Correct me if I'm wrong.
So let me just tell you, seeing is believing here. You know, we've got our certifications from Align. We can buy products in the Invisalign doctor's site on their store. These products don't go into the store unless they were approved by Align. They test them, they test their strength, and they're not even private labeled. So when you go to the Invisalign doctor site and you see, these products from Ivoclar, you're like, wait a minute, And so when I questioned 7 scientists that I got to meet and be privy to, I said, why do you trust this? And they said, we've tested it. It's strength. We got to make sure that composite doesn't wear away and that it has the strength. So it is on their formulary. It's recommended. And they put it into the Invisalign doctor's site. Now, listen, you don't have to go to the Invisalign doctor's site to buy it. We can get it through any dealer. We can get it really anywhere. Anybody's got a brain is going to sell this product. But what I want you to understand is if Invisalign puts it in the store, it's got to be the best product.
Right, yeah,
they're not going to put their name on it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, listen, that wraps up today, but we do want to do another episode on removing attachments because we haven't talked about taking them off. And that's a whole nother...
Absolutely.
I mean, that sounds like it's a lot easier than putting them on, right?
It really isn't, though.
I hope so.
It really isn't. It's not. Because you got to make sure all of that is off. But the thing is I've seen so much damage done. The whole objective of utilizing a product like this and on beautiful enamel is we got to get back to the enamel without going into it.
All right. So
the last thing you want is to have to do that.
Yeah,
so
that's part two. That's the next episode we're going to do. So save that great information. Don't forget about it. Yeah. So we'll be getting in touch with you shortly for that one. All right, Shannon. Great job summing this all up. Have a great evening. Thank you so much.
Hey, thank you. You take care. Thanks for having me.